ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, chapter 18, text 62. Tam eva sharanam gaccha, sarva bhavena bharata, tat prasadat parang shanti. Sthanam prapsyasi shashvatam, tameva sharanam gaccha, sarva bhavena bharata, tat prasadat param shantim, sthanam prapsyasi shashvatam, tam eva sharanam gaccha, sarva bhavena bharata, tat prasadat param shantim, sthanam prapsyasi shashvatam. Verse translation. O scion of Bharat, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. Purport. A living entity should therefore surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart, and that will relieve him from all kinds of miseries of this material existence. By such surrender, not only will one be released from all miseries in this life, but at the end he will reach the Supreme God. The transcendental world is described in the Vedic literature as Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam. Since all of creation is the kingdom of God, everything material is actually spiritual. But Paramam Padam specifically refers to the eternal abode, which is called the spiritual sky of Vaikuntha. In the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishtaha. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart. So, the recommendation that one should surrender unto the Super Soul sitting within means that one should surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna has already been accepted by Arjuna as the Supreme. He was accepted in the 10th chapter as Parang Brahma Parang Dhamma. Arjuna has accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Supreme Abode of all living entities, not only because of his personal experience, but also because of the evidence of great authorities like Narada, Asita, Devala and Vyas. Tam eva sharanam gaccha. Sarva bhavena bharata, tat prasadat parang shantim, sthanam prapsyasi shashvatam. O scion of Bharat, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace, you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. This word sharanam, is generally translated as shelter. Srila Prabhupada generally translates it slightly differently as surrender. The point being that there's no shelter without surrender. I got inspired to speak on this topic today. I've spoken on it several times. It's a very important topic. It's the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. we have to take shelter of Krishna. This verse is a precursor to the famous Mame Kam Sharanam Raja statement, which will appear just four verses later. I particularly thought to speak on it as now the Ayappa season has begun in South India, in which the chant is that Swami Sharanam, taking shelter of Swami, which means Ayappa, and among the Ayappas, as we call them, they all, I suppose they all consider themselves to be Ayappa, with some kind of Mayavadi conjuring or mental conjuring trick, because they call each other Swami also. So, of course, Prabhu means God, and we also address devotees as Prabhu. So it's the same word, meaning master. Krishna here says, in this section of Bhagavad Gita, says, Mame Kam Sharanam, to take shelter of me only. Ayappa is not Krishna. So, to take shelter of Krishna only means not Brahma, not Shiva, not Ayappa, to take shelter of Krishna only. And Sarva Bhavena, in all respects. If we don't take shelter fully, then it's not really taking shelter. It's with some reservations. And Sarva Bhavena means also without any extraneous motive. Mamekam, surrender to me only. That means not, that implies not only that we should take shelter in Krishna only, but it also implies that we should not maintain any other desire or ambition, that we have nothing to do than to surrender to Krishna. This is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, and it's the conclusion of the Vedic path, in which there is karma and jnana and yoga. But the karmis and jnanis and yogis, they're not thinking to take shelter of Krishna, although they may approach him as if taking shelter. But they have some other purpose. They're not really seeking shelter of Krishna, but they want something from him. So similarly, Swami Sharanam, the followers, the votaries or devotees of Ayappa, they make a show, actually, of taking shelter. It's a hypocrisy. It's a misuse of the term and the concept of taking shelter to say Swami Sharanam, because it's a time-serving. This is a phrase often used by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Time-serving shelter. They have some other motive. It's not that they're fully surrendered to him. As Narayan told me, his experience, I'm sure many of you have this experience, on the trains, distributing books to all the swamis, temporary swamis, dressed in black, or blue if they're special swamis. They've done it. How many times do you have to do it? The Ayappa Yatra before the Shabari Yatra, and then after you've done it a few times, then you're allowed to wear blue. That shows you're a more accomplished. You're a Guru Swami. You're a big shot. It's like taking sannyas in ISKCON or something like that. So yeah, he told me that when they're going to Shabari Malai, and they're still in their 40 days, they're very receptive, they listen, they take the books, but when they're coming back and they're finished, then they're eating meat and drinking and they won't even look at the books. So they become very religious for 40 days. No meat, no alcohol, no sex, although in Nellore once I went in a place where someone put me in a place I was staying with someone. He had some Ayappa Swami people there. They had prostitutes there. I was told that Kallur also, I used to stay there. So many Ayappa people go there. The holy places where the Ayappas visits are full of prostitutes. So not all of them follow properly. It's a chance to get away and anyway, I don't know why they're doing it. But it's a false taking shelter. For some time they make a show of taking shelter, but they have some other motive. Maybe to refrain from such activities with the idea that later I'll get more opportunity to indulge in sense gratification. Like Hiranyakashipu, for instance. There are so many. He performed great austerities, refraining from all kinds of sense gratification, but his aim was to get power to enjoy sense gratification more. So his so-called taking shelter of Lord Brahma was not really taking shelter, showing himself to be very submissive, but he had another motive. This word surrender is used in English in the context of a soldier or a criminal. The soldier surrenders to the other army, puts his hand up. The criminal surrenders to the police. But the soldier who surrenders, then he places himself completely under the control of the other army. They can do what they like with him. He thinks it's better to surrender. Otherwise, if I surrender, they might kill me. But if I don't surrender, for sure they'll kill me. So better to surrender. So he's very submissive. He'll do whatever they say. But you can't trust him because you know that he's surrendering out of fear. And that he doesn't really like you. And actually, he wants to kill you, but he's in no position to do so. So his submissiveness, it's not real submissiveness, it's forced by fear. Unless there's then Krishna, he's the actual person to take shelter of. Devarshi Bhutaptin Rinang Pitrinam Yakinkaro Nayam Rani Chara Nakinkaro Nayam Rani Chara Jan Sarvatmana ya sharanam sharanyam gato mukundam parihritakartam. This verse says that one who takes full shelter of Krishna, Mukunda, the giver of liberation, he is no longer indebted to anyone. Everyone has debts to the demigods, sages, other living beings, the forefathers, family members, animals, so many debts. But one who takes shelter of Mukunda no longer has a debt. He is Sharanya. He is one worth taking shelter of because he can actually award shelter. No one else can award shelter. Shashvatam padamavyayam. Stanam, no, no, it says stanam prapsasi shashvatam. By taking shelter of him, one can attain to the eternal abode. An eternal peace that's not possible by taking shelter of anyone else. So Krishna should be taken shelter of. If we take shelter of anyone else, that in itself is a mistake. And only by taking shelter of Krishna will we learn what it means to take shelter. Otherwise, in this material world, all taking shelter, it's all some show. Just like Srila Prabhupada writes in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita purport about Nawab Hussein Shah, who was the Badshah or the ruler of Bengal at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he attained that position. He was a servant of the previous ruler, and one time he assassinated that ruler and himself took the position. So he was very submissive to the previous ruler, seemed to be, but when he got a chance, he killed him and took over the position. So that submissiveness is very dangerous. That to trust someone. One has to be very careful, because you may trust someone and then they betray that trust because they haven't really surrendered. They act as if they're surrendered, but they're not really surrendered. They have some other motive, some personal motive. There was some incident here fairly recently in this temple, which we've seen enacted in many temples all over the world. A devotee is very submissive and behaves very nicely and seems to be an ideal devotee. And one time he gets the opportunity and takes some money and runs off, and you don't see him again. Or maybe you will see him again after some time and he'll come back again, like that fellow in Chennai. And don't be surprised if he runs off again. So that's false bhakti. That Bengali saying Srila Prabhupada sometimes used to quote this, Ati bhakti chore lokon. If someone appears to be very devotional, overly doing it, it's actually the symptom of a thief. He's making a show of being very devoted, but his motive is something else. He's trying to convince you that he really loves you, but he doesn't. That another example Srila Prabhupada gave is that of the woman who has a paramour. She'll perform all her domestic duties very nicely. She'll be an ideal wife, apparently, so that the husband will not suspect. You think, oh, my wife is so good. But unknown to him, she's has a lover on the side. So those who take shelter, but they don't really take shelter, they do so because they find themselves at present in a position lower than that of the person they take shelter of, and they want to get something from them. They're actually envying them. They don't really, although they may praise them, they're actually envy them and want to get something from them. Of course, we may say we take shelter of Krishna because we want to get something from him. Well, that's there in the karmis, the gyanis, they want material rewards and liberation, respectively. The devotee doesn't ask for anything from Krishna, only that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bhavatad Bhakti Rahaitu Gita, please give me your devotional service. Unmotivated, that he's asking from Krishna. What's that verse? There's another one. Betan More Deya Prema Dhan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that's the Bengali equivalent given in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That give me the wages of love of God. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked for that. So in the guru-disciple relationship, there may be also someone apparently takes shelter, but not in the proper way. It's not appreciated. The example is there of Ekalavya. He's lauded as a great disciple of the guru. But then if he's a great disciple, why did the guru cut his thumb off? Because he was a cheater. He made a show of being very submissive, but he had a different motive. He didn't want to actually follow the guru. He was rejected for being a disciple. Maybe if he'd have asked, well, on what conditions? What do I have to do to be accepted as a disciple? He might have been told, and then he could have worked on that. But instead, he just thought, okay, I'll be a disciple in my own way. So, although he was apparently a great disciple, he was actually a cheater. And Srila Prabhupada also told us about this, what Guru Maravidya. He says the Mayavadis are like this. They learn everything from the guru, and then they take over. They kill the guru, and then now I'll be the guru, like the assassination. Now I learned everything. Now I can be a guru. I'll take over. Similarly, in this, those who approach God with fear of Him, fear the Lord. This was my religious upbringing. The main thing I was taught in the Christian religion I was raised in. The thing about God is you have to be afraid of Him, because otherwise He'll throw you into hell. So respecting Him as a power only, again we can read for the fourth day running maybe, that from chapter 10, text 2, it's so relevant to so many of our discussions. The conception of God, Srila Prabhupada writes, as some ruling power or as the impersonal Brahman can be reached by persons who are in the inferior energy of the Lord, but the personality of Godhead cannot be conceived unless one is in the transcendental position. And actually in these religions like Christianity and Islam, they really have no conception of the personality of Godhead. And in Islam especially, they're actually against, they're strongly opposed to the idea that Allah, which is symbolic, not actually the name of God, but symbolic, a symbolic term, can be a person. They think that is shirk or something, heresy, heretical, to even think such a thing. They have no information. So there's no question of love. If there's fear, then there's no question of love. It's on the material platform. Fear. Fear God. Well, fear is on the mundane platform. Bhayam dvitiya bhinivesheta syat ishada petyasya vipariyo smritihi. Fear is the characteristic, the prominent characteristic of material existence. It's just opposite to love. Love is the characteristic of spiritual existence. Fear is the characteristic of material existence. So to fear God means we don't really, haven't really understood who He is at all. It's a material conception. Thinking that I am part of this material world and there's God something somewhere out there, some big power. If I don't do what He says, I'll have to suffer. So not understanding one's position as part and parcel of Krishna, who is this supreme loving person. They think that love means just He won't throw you into hell. That's not a very good, not a very deep conception of love. In relationship with Krishna, first there has to be this taking shelter to protect taking shelter of Him to protect us from material conditions, to deliver us from material conditions. That's the beginning, to deliver us back to Godhead. We find in most Vaishnava Sampradayas, they have the idea that we worship Krishna or Vishnu and He will give us moksha, He'll give us mukti, He'll deliver us from this world. So that's all right, but there's more. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Eho hoi age kaha. In the beginning he said, Eho bhajya. What Ramananda Rai proposed, what you're talking is external. But eventually he came to the platform, Eho hoi, this is all right. what is all right? That we should dedicate sthane stita shuti. This jnani prayasamudra pasyanamanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavati avartam sthane sita shutigatang tanuvang manopiya ya prayasam api taistri jichajitopi api taistri loki. Who are these people? Do you know them? I see. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted this, that we should dedicate, giving up our own puffed up idea that I know very much. Become humble. Spend one's life hearing from realized souls about Krishna, topics of Krishna. Dedicate one's life in His service, and then in whatever position one may be, even without changing that, one can conquer the unconquerable Lord. So that's the beginning. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted that. There's no concept of fear here. There's no asking for liberation, as in jnana. Jnane prayasam. Give up this idea. I'll know everything, then I'll get liberated. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted, Eho Hoi, all right, that's the beginning, but Age Kahoa, there's more to be said also. Bhakti begins from the platform of taking shelter. In the Ramanuja Sampradaya, there's a different idea. They think bhakti leads to Sharanam, which is the ultimate, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought the concept, we take shelter and then our love for Krishna develops, love beyond surrender. So unless there is real love, Krishna won't let us come close to him. Unless there's real love and trust, there's the guards at the gates of the spiritual world. One cannot get in. One cannot come in with material desires or desires for liberation. We won't be allowed in, and nor will actually even one want to enter, because that is the atmosphere of total shelter of Krishna. But there's no sense gratification. There's spiritually the senses are satisfied in completely, but it's all in relationship to Krishna. So as long as one is maintaining selfish desires, there's no entrance there, nor will anyone desire to enter there. And generally people, if we tell them about the spiritual world, they're not very interested. What is the spiritual world? We're here, we're enjoying here. What do we want to go there for? And there you have to, there's no meat eating, there's no gambling, there's no intoxication, there's no illicit sex. So they don't want to go there. So in our personal dealings also, we have to be careful of this. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur many times spoke of this kapatya, or this cheating kind of approach, where someone appears to be very devoted, they may even work very hard in devotional service, they may appear to be a very good devotee, but they have some other motive. Be very careful. You can don't bring them too close, otherwise they may stab you, like the Nawab Hussein Shah. Generally all these people, the prime minister, so on, you can't come very close to them. Only the bodyguards can come very close. And very trusted people. Only they can come very close, because otherwise you don't know what they'll do. So we should be very careful. We can interact with others, but trust may also take some time to build up. We can encourage people, but we should be careful and not naive. And trust, yeah, takes some time to build. It's amazing in the modern age where everyone is cheating everyone else. It's like there's that one hell described in Shastra, Krimi Bhojan. Krimi means some kind of insect or something like that, or bug. Inside the body, this kind of slimy, like a maggot or something like that. And bhojan means eating. So they're eating each other. One eats another one, one eats one, and then another one eats one. And I guess you get another body again. They're all eating each other. So in this world, it's like that. Everyone is exploiting each other. Jivo jivasya jivanam. Everyone's exploiting each other. That's the situation in the material world. So even if people take to devotional service, they maintain this attitude. If they maintain this attitude, then they can never make advancement. We should be careful. In the beginning, especially, we should be very careful to see how people, what is their actual motive, what are they doing. We can't expect that everyone will be a pure devotee immediately. But it's amazing that in this modern age where there's practically no one can trust anyone else, people are coming forward and they take initiation in which they're supposed to surrender. Atma, what is that? Dika kale bhakta kare atta samarpan. But the injunction is there that the disciples should see the guru. Can I surrender here? As Srila Prabhupada said, if you have to find where you can surrender. You have to be sure. Of course, there may be some level of uncertainty because you can never know what will happen in this world, but then that's true for everything, and you can't stop doing all activities because you're not sure. Just like, for instance, when we sit down to eat, we're not sure that the food is not poisoned, but we have enough faith that it's not, that we eat it. So we can never be you can never be fully sure, but one can be sure enough that one can take a decision. Yes, let me put my faith here. Let me take shelter here. This is a place where I can take shelter. Hereby, in this place, if I take shelter, my best interest will be fulfilled. Take shelter, of course, means that you have to do what you're told. You can't be independent and take shelter at the same time. One has to follow the regime. The guru also has to be careful and accepting the disciple, as to see, are they prepared to follow? If they're not prepared to follow, then the guru can't be a guru. He can't exercise his function on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead if the disciple is not prepared to follow. Of course, it's understood that people come to accept initiation because they require guidance and they're not perfect and they will make mistakes, but if their basic attitude is to surrender, then they can be accepted as disciples. Otherwise, if they're not prepared to follow, then there's no meaning to take initiation. That requires great trust. The guru places some trust in the disciple. The disciple has to place tremendous trust in the guru, that this person can guide me properly. But he also has to be pure in motive. Otherwise, if it's like the Ayyappa people, they have some taking shelter for some time only, but they have some other desire. They're from the outset, they're clear in their own mind that this is only temporary. So there's no real meaning to Sharanam. Sharanam doesn't mean that we take shelter, at least in the way Krishna says it. We may take shelter under an umbrella when it's raining, it's something temporary. But Krishna, taking shelter of Krishna, that means completely and eternally, without reservation, that is the meaning of taking shelter of Krishna. Temporary shelter, that is for something temporary. But we are eternal. We're eternal and we're meant to be eternally sheltered at the lotus feet of Krishna. So taking shelter anywhere else cannot fulfill what we really need, and the attempt to do so means that we're ignorant of our own self-interest and we're cultivating material desires in doing so. So taking shelter means taking shelter of Krishna, and Krishna gives the way to do so by taking shelter of the devotees who are his representatives in this world. So there are some thoughts, again, on the topic of Sharanam. It's a very important word. It's a very important to understand what it means. We can understand what it means when we understand the position of Krishna, the position of ourselves. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are his eternal servants. We are meant to serve him. If we take shelter of him, we'll be delivered from all troubles. No one else is capable of giving shelter. Balasya neha sharanam. That word again comes. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nrsimha. Nartasya chagadam udanvanti majjato no taptasya tat trividhir ihanja seishtasta vadvibho tanubritang tvadupekshitanam. Prahlad Maharaj took shelter of Nrsimhadev. And he said that in this prayer, he says that in this world, a child may take shelter of his parents, but the parents can't actually protect him. Of course, it's their duty to try to do so to the best extent, but they don't ultimately have the power to do so. Someone in the ocean, they may be on a boat and think that, well, now I'm safe, I'm on a good boat, but If it's destined to sink, it will sink, however good the boat may be. Or one may have a severe disease and someone brings the medicine, says, yes, this medicine will cure you, sure, guaranteed, but there's no guarantee. So in this world, those people who do not take shelter of Krishna, Nrisimha, they must suffer for taking the wrong shelter. Deha patya kalatradishu atmasanyeshva satsvapi teshang pramata nidhanam paschanapi na paschati. Shukadev Goswami begins his teaching to Parikshit Maharaj, saying that people take shelter of their body, their children, their wife, and so on. But these are fallible soldiers. They cannot actually protect us. But we don't see this because we're overpowered by illusion. We don't see. We see that actually I'm weak, my family is weak, everyone is weak, they cannot protect me, but we don't see. Due to illusion, maya, forgetfulness of Krishna, rejection of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please? Yeah, ādo śrata tata sadhu saṅga atā bhajana kriya tato nāta nivritti syāt. These are the stages on the ascent to the platform of prema. There are stages to go through, step by step. So yeah, there are steps in sharanam. The sharan or sharanagati, that is the term used. The path of taking shelter. Yesterday I read the last song from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's series of songs called Sharanagati. We'll find in those prayers that there are Bhaktivinoda Thakur expressing his initial feeling of helplessness in taking shelter. In songs beginning, for instance, Amar Jivan Shada Pape Rata Nahika Punyera Lesh. He begins a song saying that in my life I've always attached to sinfulness. There's not even a trace of piety. So he has many songs starting like that. And then the conclusion is or that now in my old age I'm well, here we go again. And look up. This series of songs is a whole course in devotional service. So let's find some of them. There's so many. Bhulia tomare shongshare ashia paye nana bidda betta. Forgetting you, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says to Krishna, I came to this material world and received various kinds of miseries. This I want to say. So at the end of the song, he goes on describing his life. And in the end of the song, Bada ke ekon bhakati vinod kandiya katora oti na bhajiya tore dine din britha gelo ekon ki hobe goti. He says, now in old age Bhakti Vinod is crying pitifully, very pitifully. I don't worship you. My life has gone uselessly. Now what will be my destination? Then in the next song he describes how he was attached to mundane studies. And he finishes that song, Toma charan bina kichudhan, shangshare na achaya. Outside of your, apart from your lotus feet, there is nothing of any value in the material world. Bhakti Vinod, joro bidda chari, tuapade kare sha. Bhakti Vinod says that rejecting materialistic knowledge, he makes your lotus feet the essence of his life. At the end of the next song, having described his life again, another autobiography, he just says how bad my life was. This is Vaishnava biography. He's not praising himself, just saying my life was completely bad. And at the end, Ebe shuno prabhu, amigoti heen, bhakati vino da koi, tava kripa bina, shokali nirasha, deho more padashroy. Now hear me, O Lord, I'm without any direction. Bhaktivinoda says, without your mercy, everything is hopeless. So give me the shelter of your lotus feet. Ashray, that's another word. Ashray. Then Amar Jibon Shada Papi Rota. He goes on in the end. In this song, he just says at the end, Bardake ekon upai bihin tate dina okinchon. Now in old age, I find myself without any means, which means means of uplift. I find myself to be very fallen, and I've nothing left. Bhaktivinod submits this tale of woe at the lotus feet of the Lord. So there are many such songs in which he expresses, it's the beginning. I passed my life forgetting you, now I'm taking shelter. This is the whole point. But then we find, then there are songs like Shuddha Bhakata Charana Rain, how he's engaged in devotional service, is finding great happiness in that. There's many such songs. And then songs such as, now he's come to Godroom, he's come to the place, part of Navadvip Dham, and he's describing his devotional service there in great happiness. And then there are other songs where I'm just going through quick. How to attain the utmost perfectional stage. Kobe Gorabone Shuradhuni Tot. Living in Navadvip Dham as a completely surrendered servant. Then Dhame Sharup Shuribe Nayone Hoibo Radhar Dashi. Then the real form of the Dham will be revealed to my eyes, and that I will be the maidservant of Radha. And then he goes on in other songs to describe how he's describing what he sees in future, how he's going to take the form of a gopi in Vrindavan. So, in other words, prema is there, but it's all within Sharanagati. They're non-different. At the highest stage, we see also that Radha and Krishna, they are the predominating and the predominated moiety, which this is the terms of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. They are the absolute truth. Krishna is in the form of the predominate. Moiety means a body made of two parts. So Krishna is the predominating part and Radha is the predominated part. And then there are gopis who are subservient to Radha, and then gopis who are subservient to those gopis, and it goes on in this way. And therefore we have Das Anudas Anudas Anudas. Oh, there's also another song. Yeah, well, there's also Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings about taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Sakis, or the a particular Sakhi, who is a servant. So we take shelter there. So this is all on the platform of Prem. So in Prem there's Sharan also. It's not that we take shelter and then we come to Prem and then we forget about the shelter. It's not that. But it's shelter in a different... Shelter in the beginning is shelter from the nastiness of this material world and shelter from the oscillations of our own mad mind. But later there's shelter in service in the spiritual world. And both of these are described in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sharanagati collection. So we'll find he does it in sections, the six sections, or he composes the song in six sections. They're the six facets of Sharanagati. Anukulyasya Sankalpa, all these. Beginning with performing activities favorable for devotional service. But he begins with Dainya, with humility. Whereas that comes last in the Sanskrit verse. He begins with that. But in all of these sections, he'll describe first of all the position in the material world, how we have to take shelter of Krishna. What is favorable for devotional service. He'll describe in this material world what is miserable to associate with devotees. Shuddha bhakata charana renu bhajana anukula. This is all what is favorable for devotional service. Then he'll go to Gudruma Dhame Bhajana Anukula. Then he comes up to another level of performing devotional. First of all, there is performing the basic activities and then coming up, and then ultimately it's in the spiritual world what's favorable for serving. So it's at the level of first primary taking shelter. He composes songs at the level of primarily taking shelter, performing devotional service in this world, and performing devotional service in the self-realized position in the spiritual world. So it's all there. Ado shraddha tata sadhu sangha ata bhajana kriya. The sharan begins with bhajana kriya. Because in the activities of bhajan, there is, how does that begin? Ata gurvashraya. In the 64 items of devotional service, the first is to take shelter of a guru. So it begins with that. Now when one actually, in the beginning there's some primary faith, then one starts to associate with devotees, but then one commits oneself. And that is called bhajan. Otherwise, prior to that, there may be sadhu sangha, but there's no bhajan. The specific, regulated, disciplined activities for cultivating devotional service, which is required. Otherwise, one doesn't come to the topmost stage. Bhajana kriya, and then we go and we have still another, six stages to go through to reach to Prem. Bhajare, bhajare, amar mon atimanda. Bhaja, braja, bane, radha, krishna, charana, aravinda. Bhajan, bina, gati, nai, re. Bhaktivinoda Thakur Singh says, my dear wicked mind, perform bhajan. Bhajare, bhajare, amar mon atimanda. Worship Radha and Krishna, the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan. Without bhajan, there's no hope. No way. So bhajan means these activities, rising early, chanting the holy names, Mangalarti, hearing the message of Gita and Bhagavatam. These are activities of bhajan. These are required. Yeah, anything else? Bhojare, Bhojare. Ah, yes.
I realize that absolute truth is everything that's the topmost thing in this world.
What's the Tamil word used for absolute truth? How has it been presented? Param? Paru, that means truth, is it? Param Purna. Yeah. Okay. So I understand that the highest truth. Yeah.
I want to understand what is my identification.
What is your identification? You are not the absolute truth. You are eternal spirit soul. You're not the body. You're an eternal part and parcel of the absolute truth, who is Radha and Krishna. We are eternal servants of the servants of the servants of the servants of the absolute truth, Radha and Krishna. That is your position and my position and the position of every jiva. For further information, please consult the books of Srila Prabhupada. And you can come to these classes also. Adhik jankari ke liye. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Sri Sri Gaur Nitai ki jai.